Blog Talk Radio.
Grace Kelly is back. She sings, she plays sax, she arranges, she composes, and she's only 20 years old. Multi-talented Grace Kelly knows how to bring sweet music to our ears. She's recognized as a saxophonist, singer, composer, arranger, songwriter, and recording artist with talent like no other in her age category. She performs and she has recorded with Lee Konex, with Wynton Marsalis, Phil Woods, and Hank Jones, the Boston Pops, Terry Connick Jr., among many others. She has also appeared at the Kennedy Center Carnegie Hall and Symphony Hall in Boston, as well as a leader in over 500 jazz clubs and festivals worldwide, including the 2010 Newport Jazz Festival, where she opened with the 2010 Montreal Jazz Festival, and she's done great, great things. I'm so excited about Grace being on the show, and then we're going to switch gears and talk politics. We'll dive right into the presidential politics discussion with the latest tactics between Barack Obama, our president, and Governor Mitt Romney. Voter suppression laws in states including Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Ohio can have heavy consequences in communities of color, and the perspective of some voters who don't think President Obama is one of us, including the birthers, question whether a black president will ever be accepted in all communities throughout America. We have a hot and heavy show for you today. We're so glad you joined us. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you are listening to Focus on Empowerment. It's going to be a great show. Stay tuned. Hello, my friends. Thanks so much for joining us. We're out and about here in Boston. You may hear a little background noise because we're out of the studio, and it's a beautiful day here. It's about 84 or 5 degrees, cool, crisp fall mornings, but wonderful afternoons. I hope it's really pleasant where you are. We have an awful lot to talk about. There's an awful lot going on, but always want to make you aware of our upcoming events that we have, including the wonderful Caribbean cruise that we're having and we're planning for. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. If you want to have fun and learn at the same time, you want to be on our cruise on April 13th through the 20th of 2013, just a few months away. A simple $250 deposit will get you on board. 8 days, 7 nights on Celebrity Series, one of their new ships, Reflection, which isn't really going to set sail for the first time until later in the fall. So we're going to be one of their first groups of passengers on that wonderful ship. Ada McKenzie, who was a professor at the University of the College of the Bahamas, and is a native of Boston, but is going to just talk to us about a lot of things Caribbean, cultures, traditions, values, including the islands we're going to visit, Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and St. Kitts. It's going to be a dynamic cruise. We want you there. All the information you can find is at www.mssconnect.com. That's for the Multicultural Symposium Series, www.mssconnect.com. We'd love to have you there. And shorter than that, that's up in April of next year, but right around the corner in October, October 25th, is our upcoming 6th Multicultural Conference. I'm excited because we're going to talk about race and multiculturalism and politics and diversity both on and off the job. My new book will be there. We'd love for you to come join in the discussion, the conversation at the University of Massachusetts Boston campus. We partner with them. This is our 6th time having the conference, our 3rd time on this wonderful, delightful campus. Again, all the information, and you can sign up now. The registration has now opened. only $99 to attend, and you become a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series at mssconnect.com, www.mssconnect.com. Our keynote speaker for the morning will include the chancellor of the school, the head of UMass Boston, Dr. Keith Motley. Always delighted to have him to bring us welcoming greetings. And our special morning speaker will be Michelle Schell. Michelle Schell is the chair of the Massachusetts Convention and Convention Center Authority. She is the first African American to hold that role. It is a wonderfully powerful political role, and she is going to have a delightful message to bring to each and every one of us, and you won't want to miss it. You may want to stick around and hear the luncheon speaker. I'm going to deliver the luncheon speech, and it's going to be a reflection of 25 years in this business. So we have a lot in store for you, networking opportunities to collaborate, discuss important key issues, both at the Multicultural Symposium Series Conference in October and all the other activities that we have. So you can go to mssconnect.com and find out complete details. Well, I'm excited because one of my highest download shows ever is a show that I conducted last year on Martha's Vineyard with this delightful, entertaining woman. I'm sorry she can't stay with us the entire time, but we have her for just probably about 10 minutes or so on our show today. 8 CDs she has completed, produced, and is now selling. She is not even 22 years old. She's a graduate of Emerson College, graduated in December, a fabulous entertainer, and she is going to delight us at an upcoming benefit concert, The Music, the Movement, and the Mission, on September 28th. Grace Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Carol. Just a quick little thing. It's actually Berklee College of Music.
Oh, Berklee, pardon me, Berklee. Yes. What did I say? Emerson. That's a theatrical school. Berklee. Two great schools, but you went to Berklee. Very, very good. Thank you for sharing that. And 20 years old, correct? Not 21?
Yes.
20. I got that one right. Super.
<Yeah. laughs>
So what's it like? You've graduated. You are traveling around the country. We were talking before we went on the air. You're going to be in Madagascar in the next couple of months in Europe. What's it like to now be a full-time musician, Grace?
You know, it's really it's very freeing in a lot of ways. Berklee was a really great place to be. And after I graduated in December, I did a little bit of teaching for them. But the thing that I think was the hardest about being a student and having a full-time career at the same time was just balancing both of those things. So I enjoyed it tremendously because I was growing a lot in school, and now it's like I get to kind of put on my full-time hat for just music, which I suppose I could have done if I didn't decide to go to Berklee, but there was so many things that I wanted to do at school, taking courses and stuff like that. So it's really great now. I make my own schedule.
That's great. Well, you know, the thing is, the door of education is always open. You may return, want to return and get an advanced degree, you know, and I'm sure that you've mastered the balancing piece. You'll probably start a family at some point in the future, you know, if you choose to go in that direction. So, yeah, you have a lot of skills, and I think you'll use them very wisely. Great. Tell us, you were in South Africa in August. Tell us about that trip, a little bit of music, a little bit of mission, all mixed into one.
So I was there playing at the Joy of Jazz Festival in Johannesburg, which was just amazing. It's a festival that brings many different international local artists, people like Wycliffe Gordon, Monty Alexander, Liz Wright.
I love Monty Alexander.
And his set was amazing. Monty actually recorded on one of my CDs with Phil Wood, so he's a good friend of mine.
Tell him that Carol Copeland Thomas still has a crush on him, and I've had a crush on him since I was a teenager.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yep.
And his set was unbelievable. So the festival has about 20,000 people who are attending to it. It's a huge thing. Really, I mean, the audience was fantastic. And then I got to do some mission work at the end of the trip with Rebecca as well, which is an amazing organization helping, you know, disadvantaged women and their children.
Yeah.
game skills and all of this wonderful work. I actually got to go to a children's feeding shelter and hang out with these adorable kids from the ages of, you know, six to teenagers. And there were just, you know, the sweetest thing. And we couldn't speak the same, you know, some of them weren't even speaking English, but there is such a human connection.
Sure.
So I helped.
Did you bring your saxophone when
you
were on the mission trip? Did you play there also?
I played for them, and it was amazing because
I got the kids all singing.
And after I was leaving, they're all saying, "Bye, Grace, and we want more music." And it was just... I actually wrote a blog about it on my website, too, that's really in-depth.
Beautiful.
It's just GraceKellyMusic.com, and it's a South Africa blog.
We'll check it out.
All that stuff,
Great. That's great. Now, tell us about the upcoming conference. It's taking place September 28th at my church, Bethel A&E Church in Boston, The Music, The Movement, and The Mission. I wish my audience could see this wonderful poster and postcard that depicts our continents, North America, all the way down to Africa, and a link between Boston and Johannesburg. So tell us about Two Cities, One Cause.
Well, this is actually a benefit concert helping exactly like the mission that I was working with, helping raise money for these kids. And it's going to be, I think, quite a few artists, as I am told. I'm part of it. Also,
Prince Charles Alexander. And Rashad McPherson.
Rashad, exactly. So a bunch of wonderful musicians all coming together. I believe the choir is singing. We're just going to play some music and hopefully raise some money.
Great. Well, I know last year's conference was a little more earmarked toward you, Grace Kelly, and you are gracious now. You're sort of sharing the platform along with Bill Banfield, as you had mentioned earlier, and Prince Charles Alexander and Rashad McPherson and choirs. And I know it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening. Is there anything in particular that you're going to deliver that night during this benefit event?
You know, right now I'm keeping it pretty loose. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing something with Prince Charles, and we haven't even talked about what we'll be doing, so we're going to kind of improvise.
Jazz artist, improvisation.
Come out of not knowing what we're doing. Some of my favorite moments.
Well, I know it's going to be a great concert. For those who are interested, we'd love for you to go to, tickets are available at rebeccaswell.brownpapertickets.com. That's rebeccaswell.brownpapertickets.com. The concert is Friday, September 28th, 2012. They have a recommended price of $25, and you can give more or less. If you're a student, you can pay up to $15. But the important thing is it's a worthy cause, as Grace has said. It's a benefit for Rebecca's Well and the 2012 mission trip to South Africa. All the proceeds will go to help the women and children of South Africa, and I know the organizers of this, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful event. So I would encourage everyone to check it out, or you can call 215-680-8266. That's 215-860-8266. So tell us about your upcoming tours before you take off, Grace.
Well, I'm heading to Delaware this weekend. I'll be in Virginia soon. And then in October, I'm doing a U.S. State Department speakers tour in Madagascar. And then I'm in San Francisco for a documentary filming on Frank Morgan. And then to Europe. And locally, November 9th, I'll be at Scholars Jazz Club. It's all listed on the site as well, but October is, like, completely gone, which is pretty crazy.
That's great. And give us your website again and how people can get in touch with your folks and get in touch with that great schedule.
It's Grace Kelly, www.gracekellymusic.com. Facebook, which is facebook.com/GraceKellyJazz, and Twitter, which is Grace Kelly Jazz. That I personally update all of those things myself.
Ah, good for you. Yeah, what I admire, and I mentioned to you earlier, is that I have a new book out. This is my second book. Took a little while to get out, but I'm very proud of it. And I took some inspiration from you, Grace. I remember last year when we interviewed you back in July, and 8 CDs. You started off as a very young teenager. You tried a couple of instruments before locking into the saxophone. And then you put your creativity on paper and let the world see it. And that, to me, is, I think, the most motivating thing about you is that you're gifted, you're talented, and you're only 20 years old. But, my goodness, you have accomplished what 59-year-olds haven't done. That's the exciting thing. Because there's so much more living for you, so much more. Grace Kelly, I'll be at the concert. I hope others will be there. And I thank you so much for being a guest on my program. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Carol. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She is so delightful. Just a really cool young lady. But, again, inspirational, great music, gifted, giving and sharing, obviously, with the mission work that she's doing. So we wish her the very, very best. Wish the world had more Grace Kellys out there, really do. I want to switch gears now and talk about a subject that we should all be paying attention to, especially if you are an American. If you live in America and you are in, if you're breathing, you should be involved in the political process. I want to put a disclaimer out there and just say, you know, I am a Democrat, I am a progressive, but because of the work that I do in diversity, because of the work that I do on the radio, I want to listen to all sides of the story. I have Republican friends, I have Democratic friends, I have independent friends. So that's a disclaimer. But for those who feel that there's not a stake in the activities for you, you're wrong. This season is so important to every single American who's out there, especially if you are in business like I am. I just earlier this morning came from what was actually a bidding conference. An extremely large contract is going to be awarded to our transportation. It's going to be awarded to there are two large bidders, both in transportation. One is local and one is not in the area. But it was an open process. They especially wanted minority business owners there. We packed the room. There was great information. And as I thought about that, and I know so many people in the room, I've worked for the transportation system here in Boston, I thought about the key connection between what I do as a business owner and politics. So that's just one slice, that one particular ingredient today as a business owner, but the whole minority element to it. On Monday, there was the ribbon cutting here in Boston for Mattapan Community Health Center. And they are in an incredibly beautiful building now, 4 stories high, green building, elevators, glass, environmentally friendly, just an extraordinary seat of vision, principally because of the executive director and her team, Dr. Azzy Young. Mattapan Community Health Center has been one of my clients for many, many years, and I'm proud that I had a very small part to do with that building going up when they were in the planning stages and before construction. That building is there because of politics. People in the community, Black people, Hispanics, Asian Americans in particular, are going to be served at Mattapan Community Health Center because of a stimulus grant that was given to healthcare centers around the United States because of our president, President Obama, back in 2009. And Mattapan Community Health Center bid. I remember that process. I wrote one of the letters. They bid on it, and they won $11 million. That now has translated into probably the finest building in Mattapan. Up at the top, they have a rooftop patio where you can oversee the entire area. It is incredible. All community-driven. Many of the persons who worked on the building were people of color, all ethnicities. The staff, the chief operating officer, all of the components of that health center, they're all people of color. And again, they're in that building now because of politics. So wherever you happen to be, whether you get out of your car, and certainly if you have a car and you put gasoline in your car, that's politics. If you turn on the light switch, that's politics because of how regulated the prices are in terms of electricity. And if you are a person of color, politics means everything to you during this election cycle. When we're talking about the November elections, I am particularly concerned and disturbed about the right-wing rhetoric that's taking place on the side of the right-wing conservative part, and the denigration and the despicable disrespect that is spewing out of the mouths of some, particularly the birthers. I think they are probably the looniest group in the United States to force a sitting president to produce his birth certificate, and that's still not enough. To have those opportunists in New York and elsewhere, and I'm going to name Donald Trump. I don't do any business with him, so I have no stake in the game here. But when I think about someone like Donald Trump to continue to perpetuate the lie of the birther movement, I can't help but think about race and the power of race. When you have an African-American president who was forced with all kinds of obstacles and problems when he took office in January of 2009, passing health care, passing other pieces of legislation that have had a far-reaching impact on us, a stimulus that is producing jobs, is helping people, is saving lives, and certainly an awful lot that could have been done but will be done going forward. The integration of politics and race is a central theme in our American landscape. The candidate, Governor Mitt Romney, and you can go back 2 weeks because we interviewed and we profiled the Republican National Convention, just like last week we profiled the Democratic Convention. So, again, I'm covering things from both sides. But I can't help but remember back in 2002 when I was on a terrestrial radio station, a very popular station in this marketplace, WILD, and Mitt Romney was running for governor, his first political campaign where he was successful at that time. He had run prior to that for Senate. He lost, but he ran for governor and he won ultimately. But at that time, I remember distinctly asking every candidate who was running, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party. I had a series of interviews on that radio station. Callers called in, they got information, they talked to the candidates, et cetera. And the one person who refused to come on the show, and I've touched on that with other radio stations I've been on, including our current governor, Governor Patrick DeVal. Patrick was on my radio station like the day before he was publicly announcing, or the day after he publicly announced his candidacy back in 2005. So politics are always going to be part of the show. But going back to 2002, I remember distinctly inviting then candidate Mitt Romney on my show and being ignored, totally ignored, not even getting my phone calls returned, calling his handlers, et cetera, and getting nowhere. And I can't help but wonder about, again, my connection as an African-American trying to put forth information respectfully and responsibly on a black radio station and being ignored by that man. Until I got on the air the next week and respectfully told people what was going on, that I was trying to have Mr. Romney on. I'm from Michigan, Detroit. He's from Michigan, Detroit. We could have a nice civil conversation, and being ignored. And fortunately, in that case, about a week or two later, I did receive a phone call from one of his persons. They must have heard the show or somebody got to them, and he was ultimately on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of this country, don't allow yourself to be ignored ever, because you have a stake in this game if you're in the United States. You don't have to be a radio personality like me. You don't have to be a diversity professional, but you definitely have value that is worth considering. And with all candidates, and again, I go back to that situation 10 years ago, and it's always stayed with me, especially now when I'm seeing the huge mistakes that Mitt Romney is making, huge mistakes, because he's pandering to the Tea Party, and he's pandering to those who are funding his campaign on the extreme right and totally ignoring half to more than half of the country. Don't take your vote for granted. Don't take your ethnicity for granted. Be proud of who you are. Involve yourself in discussions and debates, because your future and my future are based on what happens and the outcome in November. Now, again, I am an Obama supporter, but I hope during the debates, and there are going to be three of them, and the vice presidents are also going to debate, I hope that the core issues and the issues that we are struggling with, and race is definitely a part of it, will be on the table during the debate, and that some honest answers will come forth. I don't want dancing around and skipping around. I want people to talk about the issues and basically call them out for what they are. We are in economic challenging times that are slowly improving. We looked at the jobs numbers last week, and we were hoping for more, and hopefully they will get better. We hope that the unemployment numbers will drop significantly in all communities around the country. But I also think it is time for us to have a serious conversation and a valuable conversation on race and the integration of race and politics, because it is there. It is underneath the surface. People are making disparaging remarks about things. When I look at the whole diversity issues, religion certainly being one of them, and this despicable movie, I saw a clip of it yesterday, this Islamic movie, Muslim movie, that that absolute idiot in California made, and now is killing people or having some partial connection between what happened in Libya and the ambassador passing away, dying tragically, being murdered, and three of his staff persons and 10 Libyans being killed, all because of a film and sort of fanning the fires of extremists on the Islamic side. There are extremists everywhere. There are extremist Christians. There are extremist Muslims. There are extremist political in the political field, in terms of radical right individuals and those who are radically involved on the left. But through so much of what we are seeing is the thin layer of race, in the case of our political campaign, and how people are reacting to it and how they are making decisions based on their real feelings and attitudes toward race. I believe, just based on the poll numbers, based on what I think are in the heart and soul of the American people, what I think are people who are not necessarily telling how they're going to vote, but when they get into the voting booth, they're going to probably vote for President Obama. I'm hoping that between now and November, and certainly beyond November, when I think he is going to get reelected, that we can finally have this conversation on race and the integration and the connection between multicultural issues and politics, which is so much a part of our lives. And we can have a conversation that will lead us forward. President Obama's theme is forward. And I think the only way that we can go forward is to finally have this conversation that we so desperately need. It's a fear factor. I think that there are some people who are afraid. They have never accepted the fact that Barack Obama is now president, and they make disparaging remarks. They don't believe that he was born in Hawaii. At this point, I don't know why, but they don't believe it. And those individuals in particular, it's time for them to turn the corner. It's time for them to let go all of the stuff from their past and move gigantically and triumphantly into the 21st century before they get systematically left behind forever. We're going to continue to talk about this. We're going to give you resources and ways where you can connect in a meaningful way. But this whole intersection between politics and race is with us. It's here, and we need to continue to talk about it. Have a great week wherever you happen to be, and I hope that you'll come back and talk with us more next week. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We will see you next week.